Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the season 3 episode of Arrow entitled Sarah. Yay. I am one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I am your other co-host, Michael Cohen.
And Sarah died.
Sarah died.
And
we don't need to talk about that right off the bat.
It's like
it was hard enough last week.
Yeah. And then we have to deal with it.
Oh, and she's just on the slab, like, for half of the episode. It's
fully
just killer.
Dead. And it was this... We mourn for you, Sarah.
This was a rough episode to get through because there were a lot of really emotional moments and a lot of really intense scenes.
Awesome action.
With some of the best performances from some of these actors in the entire series. Which is incredible for the second episode of a season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like coming in hot much?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, Flash, you haven't watched the second episode, but I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying they're working their way up to something.
Right.
They are not there yet. Right? Like, it's good.
Yeah.
And I hope that you enjoy the second episode.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything about the actual plot of the episode, but nothing in particular happens.
Right, yeah.
It's Freak of the Week. It's the second episode of Smallville, right? Like,
he's
got powers, and now he has to figure
defeat
out
things,
how to use them and beat guys, right?
Yeah.
But Arrow... And I mean, yes, it is season 3, right? Or what, I guess this is season 8 in the present day and season 3 in the past, right?
Yeah.
So we have the ability to come in, like, white hot. and just the sort of thing that you would expect coming back from a mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Right? But coming
great.
Back
from
the from
yeah,
the season
it was
premiere.
Great. Oh.
It's ridiculous. It's
oh,
ridiculous
the
what they do.
Oh, just blows our brain. And thank you for people supporting Quiver 2, by the way. Our t-shirt's printed.
Yes.
Yay, we get Quiver t-shirts.
And, well,
so
it's done now, right?
It did,
like,
yeah,
as
I just
of
got
recording.
My email. It just says Quiver was printed successfully, so I get my shirt. I'm sad. I kind of wanted to also go buy a hoodie, but then I just didn't get around to it.
Your Teespring order is printing.
I get my own t-shirt.
Your campaign ended successfully. What's the final number?
Yay.
33 of 30 were reserved.
Yay.
Thank you guys so much.
Let's go.
That means that we sold 30 shirts because
yay.
I bought 2 and you bought 1, right?
Yeah. So that's awesome. So,
that means that we actually sold 30 shirts to other people.
Yay, so other people will be cool. Now you get to be in the cool Quiver shirt.
It's my favorite because as I posted on the Facebook, when I was first sort of marketing it, the tagline of sorts was that you can really, like, this is the maximum geekdom shirt.
Yeah.
Because it is a reference to a podcast that is dedicated to a TV show based on a comic book.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's super awesome.
Like, it's
super
not
nerdy.
A reference to the show. It's a reference to us.
Yeah.
We're referencing the show, which in itself is a reference.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
awesome.
It's what, Geekception, I guess? Like,
there you
it's 4 levels deep of geekdom. So, when you're wearing that shirt, I don't think that anybody can question your geek cred because you're hardcore, at least in the realm of Arrow, right?
That's awesome. So we'll get some more ideas out for some more shirts. I know that I want the whole universe of Quiver shirts. So you'll have more opportunities in the future to be a part of the Quiver community in our merchandising, which is so fun.
Yeah.
And you can also still support us if you are interested in actually buying things, is you can go through our Amazon store. We've got all the...
Yeah.
Links to, like, Arrow season 2, I think, came out on DVD if you haven't got that
yet. Yeah, it's out on DVD.
So you can actually, if you just, we're not actually selling it to you, but you just, like, don't Google Arrow season 2 DVD. Just go to quiverpodcast.com and click through our store and it'll show you where to buy it. So,
or you can go, if you got to clear your cookies. So there's a little bit of extra work that you do. But if you clear your cookies so that it gets attributed to us and not to, you know, some other podcast that does the exact same thing because everybody does it. But if you go to just like our homepage right now, there's an Amazon banner right at the top.
All
right.
So
that
that
you just click on that link and it'll just, it's going to take you to, I think, a page where I've already typed in the search word Green Arrow. Nice. So it's just like either that or Arrow. So it's just like a page full of different Green Arrow
stuff. And there's so much stuff. I love that we could get swag now as Green Arrow fans because there's a lot of stuff everywhere.
There's a lot of like little
action figures. Those PopCat things are so fun. I love them.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of PopCat because I think that their quality control is a little bit lackluster. The paint jobs aren't the best, but
I don't look at it for
I think it's like you cool you kitschy. You buy like the cool kitschy stuff.
I buy $500 statuettes.
Yes, I do.
I do not do that.
To be clear, that Superman is not a statuette. He is a statue. Statuettes are smaller.
And I keep like his underwear is like really. It's weird. It was all I was looking at. Well, it's right beside the TV.
He is right beside the TV. And, he is a little bit distracting, but...
it's all good. You know who else is distracting?
He has to go there. He's too big. He doesn't fit anywhere else.
Who else is distracting?
Who?
Ray Palmer. On Arrow. Superman is on Arrow, you guys. He's so amazing. I love Brendan Routh, and I just, like... I know this episode was about Sarah, and I know we'll talk about all the sad, boring... tears that'll come out of our face while we're watching this episode again. But I also want to just appreciate what Mike said while we were watching the show, that they are able to fit Superman and essentially Batman in the same show without it being about either Superman nor Batman.
It's awesome because I think they can accomplish the same thing with these two characters now.
Yeah.
Without the baggage of it being a Superman or Batman show.
Yeah.
So, like, the scrutiny's not there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're a little bit more free to do their own thing and to play a little bit of jazz with it and have Oliver... I mean, Oliver is his own character. He has his own idiosyncrasies. But billionaire gadgets, fight crime, same thing as Batman. Right, yeah. Along with the Blue Beetle,
they did talk about his cave today, right? Yeah. Like this idea that he is making choices, and he is just a man, and he is not immortal. He's not an Amazon princess, as was mentioned in the right. He's just a guy, which is again a Batman thing too, and he has his own damage.
And then Ray Palmer's moment. We'll talk about it when we get to that scene. But when he has that, he's playing off like he's doing his "I'm a charming" businessman swagger I'm Ray Palmer thing, but then as soon as he recognizes that Felicity is actually in pain, he turns it off and he goes, that charisma that you're kind of like, oh, you're so smarmy and obnoxious, but I still love you.
Yeah.
And he turns off the smarmy and it's just the charisma.
Yeah.
And you're just like, he's Superman. Like it's the same thing that he brought to the Clark Kent Superman role in Superman Returns, where you're just like, he is a good person.
Yeah,
he's
and you just want to trust being. Him, and he just like knows.
Like he's a hero,
and
you can tell.
He's a hero. That's what it is. It's the idea that he is a good person and he will be good.
He's
to the
willing
city
to drop his defenses, in order to help another person.
Yeah, which is
and
just
that's what makes him amazing. A Superman analog. And I think that it's fascinating that they managed to work this in. They cast Superman as not Superman.
Yeah,
right?
I'm really excited to see where
really
this goes. I think it says a lot in a show full of amazing performances by the staples in the Arrow universe that Brendan Routh can hold his own, and I really appreciate that, and that's awesome. So
cool. Well, I jumping off of that Ray Palmer love fest, we've got an email from Curtis Finley, my co-host from the Pullbox podcast, pullboxpodcast.com, that you guys should all be listening to because you guys like comic books. So go listen to Pullbox podcast.
You don't have to like comic books to like Arrow.
But if
you like comic books,
the majority of our listeners do like comic books. Let's say. If they don't, they should listen to Pullbox because we'll give them lots of reasons to like comic
books.
There you
go. That's good.
But Curtis wrote in with a new shipper name for us. It's the subject line is "Smoke and Palmer sitting in a tree."
Yay!
So Curtis says, "In your last episode, you were trying to figure out what the combined name would be for the inevitable romance between Felicity and Ray Palmer. Might I suggest Smoke plus Palmer equals Smoker?" He doesn't stop there just with the suggestion. You could have so much fun with this combo. Everyone shipping for those two can be called smokers. Any on-screen romance can be called smoking. And anytime either of the couple are with someone else, it would be a no smoking section. Anyway, I hope this becomes a thing. Stay sharp, Curtis. So yes, that is the official Quiver shipper name for Felicity and Ray. Not my OTP for Felicity, but I do want to see it. I like the two of them
together. For new listeners, your OTP is Feligal.
Is Feligal. Okay. Hashtag Feligal all the way.
But
hashtag Feligal is the official hashtag of Quiver, the Green Arrow
Podcast. But Smoker is my new... I mean, aside from the fact that I want to wear a shirt now saying that I love smokers, is like a weird thing. Because it's good. That's great. And I really hope...
We're appropriating the term. It away from people who smoke cigarettes because it's a filthy habit. Sorry if we offend any listeners, but you should know better. It's 2014. You know what you're doing is not a good thing. But we're going to appropriate that term from people who smoke cigarettes, and we're going to make it all about the smoking hot romance between Ray Palmer and Felicity Smoke.
Oh, so good.
Anyways, we've got another email as well that is from one of our regular email writers, Jonathan Spies. He gave us the pronunciation again.
Thanks, Jonathan.
You know what, Jonathan? Just throw that in there every time. Just in case. Because we will forget. It's not that we don't love you. We do. We love all of you listeners. But every Arrowhead out there. But
people know me still spell my name wrong. So, you know.
Anyways, Jonathan says, subject line, Komodo, exclamation point. Greetings, Quiver. I was really impressed with the arrow jumping out of the window scene this week.
Yes.
So good. I know they've done very similar stunts before, but it stood out more this time for some reason. Did y'all dig the archer jousting contest?
Yes.
My brother and I were both hoping for more of a showdown between Komodo and Oliver. In Jeff Lemire's Outsider Wars run on Green Arrow, which is the comics, Komodo was a really good foil for Oliver. So I hope he is not done just yet on the show. Stay sharp. That's from Jonathan Spies. I guarantee you that Komodo will be back. He'll break out of Iron Heights or whatever prison he ends up in. And he'll be back at some point.
He's great, yeah.
Because he's sort of been written into the DC Universe in the New 52 as Oliver's dark archer, as his foil. So,
and he was fun, and that jousting was really cool.
Yeah,
it was really awesome, and I think they did interesting things with the fights. Like, where'd you go? The show, just like the disproportionate amount of people with bows and arrows on this show are just ridiculous. Like, we really need some more hero or like anti-heroes that have, I don't know. Spears. I don't know. Just anything that's not an arrow. The arrows have just become everywhere, and all of these bad guys have arrows.
Yeah, it is. It's a common theme. Oliver, he acknowledged it.
He did,
because he says in this episode there's about 10 of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, Oliver, I'll give it to you. That's fine.
Cool. Well, was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I think that's everything. If people are, we did sort of officially talk about it last week, but people that are watching The Flash, there's some really good Flash podcasts as well, if people are doing that. And talking about, what is it, Starkville, and then the Flash podcast, if people want other things to join in and listen to.
Starkville Labs and The Flash podcast are our two high recommendations.
Yeah. Because we won't really talk about The Flash that much, but you should, I think.
Yeah.
You know, give it a shot.
Yeah. Until The Flash shows up on...
Because they're filming all those crossover stuff, and I'm really excited to see where that goes.
8 and 9, I think, are the crossover. I don't know how it works. I have to look into it a little bit more. I don't know if, like, it's a crossover where part of it's on Flash and then part of it's on Arrow, or if it's just
a Flash episode.
Flash characters coming to Arrow.
Right. So we'll look into that.
Not vice versa.
But for now, I think we can just dive in, because there's a bunch of stuff I do want to talk about, but I can talk about it sort of while we're going through.
Sure.
Especially some lovely Laurel and Felicity moments, actually that I really liked near a computer that I was like, this is very Oracle-like, and like it was very exciting. Very cool, yeah. I think that we've got a brave, wide world coming down the pipe in terms of superheroes. So.
Totally. Cool.
On this show. So that's good.
Well, let's jump into it. I've got the episode all queued up. So we are starting it right now.
Yay.
With the previously on. Wait. Oliver was on an island and stuff.
I do like, though, that
you know the word sing-along.
that he was able, though, in this new intro, that he was able to still keep that he needs to become, he is something else, right? Instead of I need to
yeah,
become,
it evolves
that he
every
is
season.
Something else, right? I really do like it. And this fact that we're back, this Hong Kong is so yellow. It's great. Sorry, I'm just looking at the differences in the previously on when he was in Hong Kong. I like that we get sort of even in this Sarah heavy-centric episode, the Hong Kong stuff. Oh, we're watching Sarah.
We're watching the recap of Sarah dying.
Thankfully,
they spared us the slamming into the dumpster and breaking.
You know what I just realized? They got away with that really well by having you see her mask hit the floor, but not her face, in terms of just a filming technique. That was really useful because then they could preset Sarah and they just have the mask fall.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
They don't have to worry about the fake head bouncing off stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they're still at Verdant a lot. I really want to open this bar up again. I feel like this was the first episode where I'm like, they need more parties and stuff. It was nice to have a party. So it's good.
It's not the OC. It's not Smallville.
I know.
They don't have to have a party every episode.
Yeah, that's true.
This is so...
So Sarah's sitting on the slab.
The first of many heartbreaking scenes in this episode, because Felicity's reaction is just...
so good. And she's still got those arrows in her, and they're just... ugh. And Laurel did a good job in this episode, too. I think everybody did a really good job.
You know, for all of the flack that we may have given that character last season, where she's at now is interesting.
Well,
I like it. What she does later this episode with the questioning the guy.
Yeah.
Like, she's... her character has purpose, and that's one thing. I was watching a Comic-Con panel with Stephen Amell, and that is one thing that he said on that panel, was that this season, Laurel has purpose.
Right.
She was in flux.
Yeah.
The first season, she was an outsider because she didn't know all of her secret.
Yeah.
And then last season, she was dealing with all of her own issues,
the
death of Tommy and everything.
Yeah.
And now this season...
yeah.
She has focus and drive, and she knows who she is.
Oh, this is so interesting. They have establishing shots in a way that they didn't before for this episode. Like, they tried to do the direction where they faded out of the last episode and into the Hong Kong thing, but instead of being able to do the seamless transition, they had to go Hong Kong 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I wonder if that's a directorial note or if that's something to do with...
I did notice last week that there was less of the sort of... that, like, we talk about a lot on the show.
Yeah.
That seamless editing technique of, like, you know, one scene flows into the next for the flashbacks. It seems like they've changed it up a little bit.
Just a little bit to, like, establish this world. Like, it's very much a separate story, this Hong Kong stuff that's happening. And here, who is he looking at? Who does he have to kill? It's Tommy! Tommy's back, and I'm so excited.
Tommy's back.
And I know it's, like, in the past, but, like, his hair was bad. Maybe just everybody had terrible hair 5 years ago.
you know what? Take a look at your Facebook feed
five years ago.
Terrible hair.
But can I just say how amazing? I have a friend that just started watching Arrow, and she's in season one. She's like, Tommy died. I was like, yeah, I know. It's really sad. She's like, I did not expect that to happen. Yeah, so it just really is a... I'm really glad that they're able to bring him back, even in small little ways, so... it's good. This shark that they mentioned, they bring up later.
Yeah.
I know it's super, like, a random sort of thing that's in there about her having a shark. Do we think that that's going to be useful or important in some point or way later?
That it's a shark?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. It's just
I think it's just, like, a thing to fixate on, right?
All right. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it'll come back. I don't think it's a reference to anything.
It's just a shark.
We could be wrong.
It's just like a cute little...
maybe there's
reference.
Something in Black Canary's history.
Yeah, I don't know. Like this,
maybe the original
maybe the
Black Canary died
comes
by
from sharks or something. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know much, but it seems interesting. This is a nice little moment, though, between the two of them when she's sitting on the stairs there.
Yeah.
and just
I like that we got the romance out of the way in that first episode of the season, like in the premiere.
Yeah.
And now, like, I never, Felicity and Ray a little bit, right?
There's
a little bit of a spark there.
Yeah.
But Oliver is not, it's not that he doesn't have chemistry with the actresses. Just,
it's not.
But it's not a focus.
And it's not what you want to be the focus of him, right? Like, he does, this does give you, it's interesting, he needs to have purpose as a human first, right? And you really get that in this, that he, but his thing to live for can't be women.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the thing,
But I think like, Smallville
right, yeah.
would have used this sort of an event in a character's life
yeah.
to bring these two characters together in a romantic way, because that's what Smallville was all about, right?
Yeah.
So I like that difference, and I'm just noticing it on this second
Yeah, that they're just
watch.
Making it about his personal journey, which I think is really interesting.
I'm noticing that I didn't notice it the first time.
Well, there you go. Awesome.
And here he's trying to call Thea. He's trying to get in contact with Thea because he feels like he could really use her. You know, he just wants to hear her voice. It's been too long.
Aww,
So I like, last week we didn't really acknowledge it. We're just kind of left alone because there was too much to deal with.
Yeah, with the
So right off the bat, we're going to deal with that. And then here we have the scene where Oliver does more detective work in 5 minutes than Batman did in 3 Dark Knight movies.
Oh, that's so funny.
No computer. Like,
true,
this isn't assisted. He's just walking up and figuring out the situation, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, I don't think that he uses this to solve any of the crime.
No, but he's just trying.
Like,
at
he's
least,
there
right?
for this purpose, right?
He's
like,
just he's, trying, right? Which is
he's
good.
Trying to find some evidence.
Yeah, and we get her falling again. We get so much of her falling. That's so sad. Oh, it's a good fall, though.
Man, there wasn't. I don't think that there was a scene in this episode that Stephen Amell didn't have tears. In
somewhere,
like
him holding
back
it back.
The damn
emotion. Crazy.
I mean, last season he had some moments. He had some really, really good moments, particularly when Moira died. And he did have some, but... He had a few really great moments, but I feel like this season, already 2 episodes in, like, he is completely comfortable in this character now. Any sort of feeling it out, I think is gone. I think
he knows
who this character is, and so when he's acting, it's all very authentic. I don't know. He's just he just seems way more grounded in his performance this season, and this episode, man, he just the whole
it's
time
beautiful.
He's just at that boiling point.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, he is just, we always talk about him being such a great actor. And it, like, that even it's in his body, and you can see it in this scene, too, with Detective Lance, where Lance is sort of like, what's going on with you?
And he's trying to quip with him,
right? Yeah.
Like, he's trying to, like, have their fun, because, like, last week we saw that they've got a little bit of a fun relationship now.
Yeah.
So Detective Lance tries to quip, and immediately Arrow's like, no. Not right now.
Yeah. Their locations were really... Oh, yeah, something I wanted to point out. The score in this episode, I think, is really beautiful. And it's something that I don't really take time to notice in other stuff. And it's not that there wasn't stuff happening, and then I'm, like, paying attention only to the score because of other stuff. But it just, like, it worked really well with the moments.
It was a really
moments,
good character in this
right?
episode.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Thank you. That's how I wanted to describe that. Yeah, which is great. And I think they did a really, really good job of doing that and showing different elements of the episode with music, with stuff in the background. So it's good.
So here we've got our bad guy that Detective Lance has just put Arrow on the trail of.
Yeah.
Who we at this moment we suspect is Sarah's killer.
Right. And there's a lot of
commercial break right now that we're
about who is Sarah's killer, which I think is interesting.
Now, I mean, honestly, going into this episode, I was 99% sure that it was Komodo. That's what they were bringing Komodo in, and that he's working for somebody else that is our big bad of the season, right? But, I mean, as we find out in this episode, no, in fact, not the case.
It's not.
He's actually...
He's a completely different.
Yeah, it's a completely unrelated storyline. There's just the coincidental aspect of the arrows,
which is totally what you're meant to think, right?
So then
we still don't know who it is.
It's a bit of a red herring, but maybe it's not.
We're back here on all of this gear laid out, all of her canary stuff, her wig, and her mask. And I love this little moment that Felicity has with Sarah, dead Sarah, but that she's talking about who she was and being brave.
And an Amazonian warrior. There's the nice nod to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Incredible performance right now.
Yeah.
From Katie Lotz, by
Yes.
As a dead body. Just
so, but I mean, it takes a lot. She's good. Yeah. I love that Roy's job. Roy's become much more submissive in this series because he now just has to stand around and listen. Like, he's still included, but he's stand around and listen guy. Which is a very big change for Roy as a person.
Very big.
And I'm really looking forward to his character becoming a full person again. Because right now, he just is stand around
with the guy. I really like it because it shows character development for him.
Yeah,
it shows
true.
That he's no longer a street tough, right? Because what he was before, right?
Yeah.
He was just some punk kid with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
And now he's not. He's a superhero in training. Yeah. He is...
Yeah.
He's Oliver's sidekick.
Yeah.
And he's owning the role.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the important part
is that he's
not useless.
Yeah.
He knows where he fits in the scheme of things.
I wonder if that's going to come in next week's episode at all. Anyways, I'm just really looking forward to exploring him a little bit more.
I think it's very interesting that we've got Oliver with his sidekick.
Right.
And we've got now Merlin, Oliver's arch nemesis,
right,
for all intents and purposes, training his sidekick. And that's what next week's episode's going to be all about. And those sidekicks are in love with one another.
Right.
So,
there we go.
What kind of a conflict is that going to cause later, right?
I love it. Tuke is interesting that he's got on here. I don't know, cover up your hair. Why don't you just cut it? Ugh, sorry. I know he has to be wearing a wig to look different, but still, it's crazy. Maybe they'll get him to wear like a weird goatee or whatever. But this makes so much
sense. Sorry, I also love, I, even though we're now 3 years into Oliver's development into Vigilante Arrow from, you know, the what did they call him?
Probably,
I guess they just called him the Vigilante or whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
In the first season.
Yeah.
He's still a little bit of that stupid Oliver.
Yeah,
that Abercrombie Oliver.
Still
he just looks
a
like
little
he's just,
bit.
He's so pretty, but
there.
Not too bright.
There's something that's going to turn there for it. It's really interesting that all these five stories have been. This all has to be planned out in advance. So, anyways, we got Roy looking into the FBI. I was going to say the Felicity database, the FBI database for Thea to see what's going on with her. And we get this note here that she's left, which I didn't realize Roy hadn't really told them about yet. I guess I wasn't really paying attention to Thea enough in the last episode. But that it is a serious problem that she is sort of run away, which is good. This is a logical reason why we don't actually look for her in the first two episodes. And so Roy just being all sad about Thea and realizing that he needs to make a difficult choice. And then this was an interesting phone call with Felicity. It's just like her work or whatever. Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know what it was. Right. It's that he bought the work. Is that what that
he
was?
Bought? Well, as he explains, he bought the shell company holding company that owns
what is it,
Tech
20,000 stores or something like that. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Spent $1.2 million to acquire
this
her.
This is my favorite scene in this episode. I know there's so much stuff and there's really some fight stuff. I just like really love them.
Yeah. No, this is probably my standout scene for the episode as well. I have to note that they have specifically put Rey in double-breasted suits, which it's a little bit of a trendy thing right now. It's kind of a thing that's coming back.
I just noticed it, actually.
But
that's so
it's
weird.
Not, like, you'll notice it later on, he's wearing the same suit, like, later on in this episode at the party.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just in their standard English American jacket.
Yeah.
Right? But he's in that Italian double-breasted suit, and it's very different. It makes him stand out, and it says a lot about his character because that's an old-fashioned style.
It's super
and
cool.
he's He's it's a little bit of like a 1930s sort of look for him. So not everybody can pull off.
Oh, he just scoffed.
He got the scoff this episode, but I think that Brandon Routh pulls that off.
Yeah. And there's that beautiful moment where they just did that beautiful camera angle where he comes up and he's like, something has to change. He's like, he knows that something's wrong because he could have lured her, right? Yeah. He's like, why is my charisma working right now? And he changes his tactics and goes after her. And he switches this. He's like, what is it? And then there's this beautiful moment at the elevator, right? Where he can see her, which I think is a really...
Oh, look at that soft lighting. Oh. He's so pretty.
Yes. I love that she put. I love that the brackets here though were inhales, exhales, not just breathes. Yeah. It said bracket inhales, exhales, bracket. Sorry for Felicity because she did. She needed to breathe properly. But, anyways, I don't really want to like talk over this. It's just like a beautiful little moment between the two of them. And I want to know more of his story now, and how this is going to progress. And that she just. I think she really appreciates it in that moment. So it's just a beautiful little scene. That's all there was. I wanted more. I want a whole smoker episode.
Yes.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I do think that even with everything else that happens in this episode, mm-hmm. that scene really stands out for me because...
By the way, what a dumb bad guy. Let's just jump up and hang on this bar for a while until I get hit in the stomach by you.
Well, he thought that he had a plan.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what it was. Climb the rafters?
Like, yeah.
Like
he's a low-level thug, so he's got to be a little bit stupid.
Okay, so...
Black mask like a hockey mask. We're talking about Komodo.
Komodo. And just so he just didn't have any information, which was not helpful. So
well, he did have that. That's all he needed, right? Because he needed one thing to set all of these other archers and mercenaries apart from one another, right? So it's the... He goes, Black Mask, that's what the assassin's going to look like, and that's how Diggle is able to use the Argus database to pull Komodo. So now they know. They know it's this
dude.
LaCroix.
Yeah.
And Canadian bad guy.
Yeah, I know. From Quebec. Love it, from Quebec. By the way, I want a tech person to tell me if the use of these three computers is necessary or if this is just so it looks
three
cool
monitors?
For blocking. Yeah, like, but it seems like three separate computers. Like, I don't know why. If it was just monitors, she could just sit at one of them and just, like, go from monitor to monitor. Oh, by the way, so this bad guy that's being chased in the van is in a local improv group here in Vancouver called the Fictionals Comedy. They do geek stuff.
They do. They do awesome geek stuff.
So,
in Vancouver.
I don't know.
As a matter of fact, tonight, I believe they were doing Improv Against Humanity.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. At the Rio.
At the Rio, yeah.
So, it's good. Yay, some...
Look them up on YouTube.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm telling our listeners to
look them
up
on YouTube. Yes, it's true.
Because my good friend Daniel Chai is their... ringleader,
sure.
I guess.
Cool. I'm sure that you will appreciate that term.
Yeah. We should get Daniel in here at some point. I don't know if he's a big Arrow fan, but
maybe. So here we got the showdown. The biking, I don't know, motorcycle thing together. What is it called? Lancing.
Jousting.
Jousting.
Yeah. This is the Arrow joust.
It's so crazy. And again, there are just better ways to defeat one another, but the riding back and forth on your motorcycles and shooting arrows at one another is just so much cooler. This show.
Yeah, they could have just fought each other, but I mean, they're gonna do that later.
So cool.
We got to. They had to switch up a little bit and make this extra cool.
It is.
They're both on motorcycles. They're both shooting the arrows.
It's good. I don't know what else to say. This is they use a lot of office spaces when they're, and this is like riding his bike as it's sort of falling down was really cool. And poor little Ollie got shot and Laurel got mad. Felicity's ability to hack into traffic cameras is just phenomenal.
They really need to use their code names.
Oh yeah.
It's really bad that they say Oliver into his earpiece all the time because if his earpiece got picked up by somebody else, right? Because inevitably he's going to drop his earpiece and somebody else is going to pick it up. So if they're constantly saying Oliver into it, that person's going to find out that Oliver Queen
really
is the Arrow.
Who he is, yes.
And if he's constantly saying, commercial break, we just got to fast forward through.
Yeah.
Komodo got away, by the way.
surprise.
But it, like, they're constantly saying, or he's constantly saying, Felicity, Diggle.
Yeah, it's like, the thing, yeah.
Come on, buddy. People will hear you. Everybody needs code names. So, Oracle, Black Driver.
Oh, yeah.
Arsenal. We still haven't heard
what they call Roy.
Like, we know that he's Arsenal. Well, that, like, that's sort of in the press releases and everything.
Yeah, but
like, nobody has actually called him Arsenal. That.
Which is, I feel like they need to, if you don't say it on the show, is it a real thing? I want to know. I want the Roy episode, though. Oh, gosh, that's going to be hard now. Ray and Roy. I want both. I want both of them to have an episode. A Roy episode and a Ray episode.
Yeah.
So Komodo got away in the jousting stuff. It was cool. It was a really cool scene. I will give it that. With the motorcycles and the shooting and the... Oh, so many arrows in this show. So many arrows.
Well, it is called Arrow.
Touche.
It's kind of...
I didn't really realize that, like, as I was saying it.
You're kind of... Yeah.
going through commercials.
I don't know. I want to say Bury the Lead, but it's not.
It's not. It's just straight up there.
Yeah, like, that's just that's just what it's called. Okay, and we're back
into
the episode.
Burdened and this big shiny... They shoot through the cases a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Roy
has his own case. I noticed that earlier this episode.
Yeah.
He's got his own gear case.
It's just what he is now. He's just part of the... Actually, I do, and you can see that even the case, when the costume's not in it, is still, like, lit up, and the outlines of the body are still sort of... It's very cool and complex. I just think it's a very interesting space they've created in this quiver, if you will. Oh, that was a good seamless transition with the red light into the Hong Kong light. So, it's good. I think that was an interesting joke about the Tommy finding it, someone that looks like Tommy in the Hong Kong morgue. And... Troy pretending to kill another person.
So Oliver has a real issue. He can't kill his best friend. Obviously, we know he's not going to kill his best friend. But if he doesn't, Amanda Waller's going to kill.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of these new characters. I haven't committed it to memory yet. But I'll work on that for next week.
How amazing is this apartment, though? By the way.
Yeah, I feel like this is a very Vancouver apartment, though.
Okay, fine,
like,
fair enough.
Crystal and I have been looking at a lot of places lately, and this is very, like, I don't know if it's the same everywhere. But
I don't know how they could do that walkthrough of the apartment. It was very good. I don't know, it just was shot really nicely.
Because it's one of those types of apartments that's just one room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just have, like, a divider in the bedroom.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And poor Tommy he got his...
Yeah, he gets kidnapped.
And Laurel here to talk to Mr. Kelso. Thank you, Screen Captions, for telling me who that is.
And being her own character.
Yeah.
I like, sort of, like we said, finding that purpose, right?
Yeah,
so she shows up and she's like, I'm here to question the guy. And they're like, he's under protective custody.
And again, she was talking to a female cop.
Yes.
How much, I love this, my friend who just started watching, like I say, was saying how great Arrow is for its ability to just have a lot of really diversity in just everything in terms of, like, how they treat different genders and different races, and it's very, very interesting, and I love that. I think Arrow just needs to be applauded more for how great it is.
The fact that, I think, like, if people bring it up, but the fact that Sarah's character... She was in love with Nyssa and Oliver.
Yeah,
and it was never like nobody questioned.
Yeah, just like the complex relationships.
It was just her character. Yeah,
yeah, and this episode directed by a woman too, Wendy Siegler or something. I don't know what her last name is, but anyway, she's directed a couple episodes for Arrow as well. Wendy Stansler. This is a great scene between Felicity and Oliver. I just completely talked over. Sorry.
This is kind of the emotional core of the episode.
It is.
Like, Felicity's kind of confronting Oliver about his quote-unquote heartlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives him a couple of digs.
Yeah.
And she immediately takes them back. She's like, oh, that was mean.
But it was...
But,
you know,
but
she's
upset because she's mourning their friend and he doesn't appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
But as Oliver's explaining, if he doesn't lead, nobody else gets to feel anything.
Yeah.
So he can't right now. He has to stay on mission, right?
Yeah.
And then he can break down when the danger's gone.
Yeah. Poor Ollie. He He's so sad. Anyways, that's what I was like, the shot where you can sort of just see the, like, the case with
yeah,
the
yeah, and you can see the mannequin in it. Yeah.
It's yeah. interesting. Sorry, I just
what did he realize? I don't remember what he realized.
That he's yeah. gonna die. And Oliver, like, this is a good, I mean, I'll acknowledge the Elicity moment, as it's happening. This is a really good, right, that if the show was in formulaic, you know, grief brings people together type yeah. mode, this would be one of those moments, right, where she would say, but you're not alone and I'm here with you.
Yeah, and they would like fall that, into right? each other's arms.
Yeah.
And...
But she knows him better than that, and he knows himself better than that, I think, which is really interesting. And it is good for her, right, that she wants her life to be something other than this, which, I don't know, is pushing it in a direction that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, she's not giving up on him at all, which is good. But it's just heading in a different direction.
Now to totally change gears.
Yeah.
Is our... I don't think that you finished introducing this actor, this guest actor. We kind of talked about the fictionals a little bit, but...
Yeah.
I don't remember if you said his name.
I didn't. There's three of them. I don't remember his name. Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, I'll talk terrible. About the scene.
I was going to. I had Google yeah. open and then I didn't do it.
We got sidetracked because then there was jousting.
Yeah.
But this is a fantastic scene where Laurel is becoming a little bit of a badass.
Oh, wait. No, it's not the fictionals.
It's something else?
It's the heckler. The gentleman heckler.
Oh, the gentleman heckler.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. It's something that happens
well,
with the
free
Rio.
Free shout out for the fictionals.
Yeah,
then.
I have to figure out. Maybe he's
taking
in both.
Credit.
You know what? No, it could be both. Maybe that's just he just does like could a whole be. Bunch of stuff, and I just don't. And I've no. I'm pretty sure I totally just misrepresented him. He's from the Gentleman Hecklers.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm
well,
so
there
bad
you go.
At representing
the Gentleman
Vancouver,
Heckler is another awesome Vancouver. comedy troupe, I guess.
Yeah.
Of sorts. They do kind of like a mystery science theater. Sort of live show.
Yeah.
And I have yet to be at one of their shows, but I've heard that they're awesome. So Laurel was questioning, we're just skipping the commercials now, Laurel was just questioning Kelso.
Yeah.
And as she was starting to get some information, thwip comes an arrow right in the chest, and now that leads dead. But she did get something. And they were working for some oil pipeline.
Yeah.
Very topical if you live in Vancouver.
Oh, gosh. So, I'm sorry, his name's Eric Fell. Okay. For sure. Just so that I can, I'm pretty sure.
Cool. We're back into the episode now. Right now.
Right now. That same opening with Verdant, actually.
Yeah, they keep showing that messed up Verdant sign. And Oliver is trying once again to get a hold of Thea. And this is when Roy makes his decision. He's doing arrow inventory, apparently.
Doing arrow inventory.
His arrows are red, by the way, which...
Arsenal is?
Yeah. I just like that little note that, like, he's checking his gear and his arrows are actually red-tipped.
Which is great.
And Oliver's are green.
Yeah.
So, Roy's kind of just sitting in the back here, letting Oliver... be upset about not being able to get a hold of Thea, and now he's finally got to tell her. She's not coming back. She's
which
left
is just
note
so mean though.
That he held off on this all summer.
Well, no, the sort of the way that he said it, it wasn't super smooth.
Happen.
Like it wasn't a super nice like.
Roy's
I,
not a
I
super
see
smooth
that
guy.
You're
he's
in
a
bad
boy.
Place, and let's go through and introduce this. To you in a different way. I don't know if that
he's more of a blunt force kind of guy though.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, no, he's not one of the gentlemen hecklers. Who is he? I have to, you know what, I have to IMDb him.
Yeah, you're gonna need to because
now you've shouted out to two different Vancouver things.
Whatever, that's fine. Good. They're all getting free advertising.
It's fine. This is the problem with like having actors in Vancouver that you like recognize but you don't really know what it's from.
Yeah. So that was a fantastic scene because it did not do what
it was
most shows would expect, where like some rift was created between Oliver
yeah,
and
I know,
Roy.
Right?
Oliver reacts like an adult and goes,
"All right,
I understand.
Let's go deal with this now in a grown-up manner."
Yeah, Yeah, like you had your reasons, and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an adult, and I'm an adult, and this will probably come up later because we're guys and we're going to repress for now.
Yeah.
The second you make a mistake, I'm going to bring this up. But
that's so terrible.
But, you know. And now Laurel is about to. It seemed like she was. Oh no, this isn't the scene where she decides she's going to. She's lying to her dad about
she's
what's going
lying.
On.
Lying. To her daddy. Oh, poor Paul Blackthorne.
I think you were right. You said during when we were watching it the first time that you think that she's going to take on the mantle of Black Canary. And he's not going to know. He's not going to know that it's not Sarah.
Yeah, I think is the...
At first,
is the thing, so...
And it'll be a big reveal at some point.
It'll be a big reveal at some point. That's true. I don't know. Sorry, this like with like Laurel and her at the computer was really interesting for me.
I'm trying to remember what's happening. We always get lost in these parts because this is just the procedural. They're just figuring out where he's gonna strike next.
Yeah.
And now Laurel is going to grab a gun so that she can get her vengeance on Komodo.
Which is so silly. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. This is like, you liked this sort of what she does. I didn't really like what happened with her in this episode. Like, the sort of vengeance-y thing. Yeah.
I like it because this is the beginning of a character arc, right?
Yeah, that's true.
She's got to go through some of this stuff before the transformation can start to take place. And since I no longer have the ability to say, no, maybe they're going to keep Sarah around.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty definitive. Laurel's becoming the Black Canary, right?
Right.
I think
it's very, very, very definitive, actually, I think, in many ways.
Just passing through some commercials at the moment. But the character's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And this is a transformation from... Laurel, the lawyer, say that three times fast, and into Black Canary, and it's gonna be rough going at the beginning but I think back to Roy and where Roy's at now, but where he was at this time last season, and especially once he got the mirror crew. So back to the episode, and the party at Queen Consolidated.
Oh my God, I'm such an idiot. He just is in Vancouver things, and I just recognize him as a Vancouver person.
Maybe he's not specifically part of a
thing in Vancouver. I'm sure he is a thing in Vancouver because he's in a lot of things. But no, he's just a Vancouver actor. Maybe I just
Well, free shout-outs for the fictionals.
Anyways, and his name is Patrick Gilmore. I don't know. I feel like Patrick Gilmore would be good in the fictionals and as Gentleman Heckler. So that's a thing that he could consider.
That's some good backpedaling.
There you go.
So here we've got Ray Palmer doing a little bit more of his, his charming philanthropy. He's just dedicated half of his net worth to.
This is like a big thing. I'm like, is this going to bankrupt him? Is this going to be like a plot point or of some kind? Or is this just him being
super
wealthy and
half of his net worth is enough.
Philanthropic.
Yeah, he spent $1.2 million on a company in order to hire Felicity.
Fair
enough. So,
by the way, how great is this? Like, let's just shoot you and actually bring you back instead of actually killing you here. Let's just drag you. But like, that was such a weird way to use an arrow in that moment.
But then Roy's there, and so is... so it was
Ollie.
Oliver, and
it just
we get this awesome
really well.
Two-on-one fight. Komodo is a force to be reckoned with.
And they're so cool. Like, it's just such a cool
and
scene.
Then out the window, and there goes Oliver behind.
It's
so,
just so
good.
Like, that was such
so
a great you
no
just
hesitation
see him shooting up and just
so. To address Jonathan's email earlier, now that we're at this point, we saw that scene. I think the reason why it stands out is how casual it was.
Yeah, I guess I think you're
before
right.
whenever
yeah.
Oliver has done that, there's been a big build-up, mm-hmm. and then sort of this climax to the scene that is him, like the season finale, I think, or maybe yeah, it was the episode just, before.
It's so where ingrained him and
Felicity went through the window.
Right. Oh, right.
And
right,
it was
right,
a big
yeah.
deal. That was the climax to the scene.
Right.
In this scene, it's actually a transition from one right. fight scene to another.
Right.
So it's like at this point. Part of who that's just who he is. He
yeah.
jumps off of buildings and swings away
on
his arrow ropes, right? That's just it. He's shoots the arrow out of the air, catches the second one, turns around and fires it into Komodo,
yeah,
pinning him against
so
the wall. And we get the reveal that Komodo is not Tommy.
Yeah. Amanda may have thought that Komodo was Tommy. I just like, why would you bring that actor back for one episode and not make him an important
yeah.
part of stuff? And I don't know.
Colin Donnell, right? That's
the
actor.
I think so, yeah.
He's, I think he's got a new series. He was on he crashed Stephen Amell's panel at New York City
Comic
Con. Oh,
nice.
So,
that's exciting.
Yeah, cool. They were kind of talking about how he's got a new series.
I love him. I want him to come back. So
just watch him on his new series, whatever
yes,
that is.
Yes, I will. But this is a nice Bloodhaven reference here that he was
Stephen
not
Stephen Amell also in that panel definitively said Nightwing not coming to Arrow.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not happening because TNT is developing a Teen Titans series.
Right, yeah.
That will probably, like they're saying, it probably shares the same universe as Arrow.
Right. And so the gun doesn't work. There's no bullets in it.
This is one of the reasons why I liked it. Oliver planted the gun.
Right, okay.
He took the gun from her, took the bullets out, and then left it out. And you didn't like that he left it out, so that
yeah,
she could take
it. Yeah, that's so silly.
He did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because, as she said before, you can't stop me. And he knew that.
Right.
He knows Laurel.
Right.
So we're fast-forwarding through more commercials. But he knows Laurel enough
yeah.
to know he can't stop her. She's going to do this. Let her follow through with it, but stop her.
Right.
So he found another way.
Right.
Because he's Oliver Queen. And if he were Batman, he just would have, "I'm Batman." Blah, yeah. But he's not. He's Oliver Queen.
He
he's
just
better than Batman.
That's your fine words.
Batman's a lame character.
But fair enough. It's you can say what you will.
Green Arrow's better.
Oh yeah, that's I agree with you.
I think yeah. everybody agrees with me. Nobody agrees with me.
And back on Laurel being very contemplative in Verdant again, where they haven't actually moved. That's interesting. They haven't actually moved the sheet from the stairs where she was sitting on it in the scene where she was sitting on it on the stairs.
Mm. They probably filmed it back to back.
Set deck choice.
Okay, change your outfits. We're filming for the
yeah,
rest of the day in this area.
Yeah, but still, I wonder if that's like if they just like left it there as a good choice. That would have been an active choice, obviously, by set deck, right? Do they leave it there as if like really
yeah.
nobody lives in Verdant, right? It's just like a space that gets used for, you know, emotional conversations. Inhales, exhales again. That was another. There's a lot of inhaling and exhaling in this episode. It was another note that Laurel inhaled and exhaled. So we'll see. There's a. It's interesting to watch it with the closed captions. You get certain elements.
Yeah, I think this is his new series, The Affair.
Oh, okay, nice.
I think that's his new series. Okay. Yes, it is with Joshua Jackson from Fringe.
Some
people might know him as Pacey from Dawson's
Most
Creek.
Most people might know him as Pacey from...
I know him
or
from the Mighty Ducks.
I was going to say, even more people might know him as Charlie.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I'm down for this show because Joshua Jackson and Dominic West is also in it.
Nice. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to check out this series.
Cool. And here we have an emotional scene between, you know, Laurel and her dad. A very poignant moment where he knocks over the picture as he goes to get his little beeper and turn it off, his medicine warning, because he is frail and cannot be told. I wonder if this is going to backfire on you, Laurel, later, or be helpful. I don't know. I haven't figured this out yet. If it's a good thing that he doesn't know. I don't know.
I think it's interesting. Well, I think that it's going to be there to drive a wedge between the two of them when he finds out.
Yes.
Because I think it's going to be a 1-2 punch. I think he's going to find out that Sarah's dead and that Laurel is now the canary.
Oh,
it's going to
like hurt him so much.
Yeah.
So we realize how convenient this is that Laurel's or that Sarah's technically already dead for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So she has a grave.
I was wondering what they were going to do with the body.
I was like, how do they have a body?
They alluded to it earlier when Felicity was getting upset with Oliver and saying, the body is upstairs in a freezer because we don't know what to do with it. And they corrected herself to with her.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they figured it out. They realized, wait a second, there's a grave in Starling City with
Sarah's
headstone. And like, this is the most logical place to put her, right? Because nobody's... If everybody already thinks she's dead, you know, who's gonna go look for
her? Which is the thing that, like, for me, the CSI type moment of it was, I'm like, why do you have her in your house?
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna get framed for murder! And there's like, Ollie's already been murdering a lot of people, so whatevs. It's all relative.
I like how, like, the last episode, we didn't really talk about it that much, but when Captain Lance absolves him basically of all of his past crimes by saying, like, we now support the vigilante.
Yeah.
The Arrow, because now he's got a different name, so it's okay that he murdered all those people 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
they kind of swept it under the rug, but that's okay.
He did. It's, you know, it's superhero television. People have to die.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
And Laurel's got a bit of a problem with it, but I don't know, like, I feel like she's upset because she's upset, but I feel like this is the best that they can do. This is the most respectful thing that they can do because she can't have a funeral. She's already had a funeral. Like, everybody else already thinks she's dead.
And it's just, like, unfair for people.
We know that she wasn't, but...
Right. Which is this great, beautiful moment. I love how supportive Roy's been of Felicity, actually, this episode. Just, like, a silent support, which is kind of really nice, which is good. And in a way that people don't ship the two of them together, maybe there's probably, I'm sure there's somebody that ships the two of them.
And then we get this moment of Diggle and Lila name their daughter Sarah.
Super cute.
So maybe, because Diggle, I think Diggle's in the comics now, right? Yeah, Diggle's in the comics. They just brought Felicity Smoke into the Green Arrow story as Felicity Smoke, basically from Arrow.
Nice.
Like, they've changed her character in the New 52. I don't know, maybe eventually they can work in, like, a time travel story where we find out that Sarah, Diggle's daughter, is the Black Canary in the future.
Yeah, cool.
So that would be really cool.
That'd be fun. And here we have Tommy. This is, like, Tommy and Oliver were so close. Almost, they almost got to talk to one another. Man, that hair is terrible. I apologize, Colin, if that is your actual hair right now. It feels like it was a choice for this episode.
I think it was. I think it was.
But this is a really great way to deal with this problem. Like, I don't know. It just, like, is a really practical solution, and I think it's really great. And it's super sad that they never get to see each other, though, which is super sad. Oh, I just want them to have one conversation. Like, this seems cruel that they would bring Tommy back once in the past and not have him... I don't know. Is it just for people like me that just wanted to see him at least once?
It's just a tease, I think.
It's just a tease. Oh, well, I think it's really cool that they can bring back other people. And you know that Oliver just wants him to turn around. Like, just turn around, Oliver. What's your name, Tommy? And see his face.
But he can't, because if he does, then the other dude's family is in danger.
Yeah.
And now the police come in, the police being his partner in crime. I really need to learn these characters' names.
Remember when we wrote a list of all of the characters in the beginning? We need to start doing that. I remember when we had to keep looking up who, like, Moira and Walter and all those people were. So, it'll be good. This is a really beautiful scene between Diggle and Ollie in the dark. Like, he's just sort of sitting here amidst all his gadgets. And sort of just sad and contemplative.
And this is Diggle after last week's episode rededicating himself to the cause. Because last week...
It wasn't going to be.
They had had a conversation where it was that he was basically going to step away.
Yeah.
But now it's like, well, they've got to figure out who killed Sarah. This is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now... It just, there was a closed caption of the name of the song that was being played. And I really, like, I feel like that's a silly thing to put in closed captioning.
Yeah.
Because it's like, most people listen to reading closed captions are hearing impaired, right?
Yeah.
So,
Interesting.
I don't know that you can really market music to them through the closed captioning.
Well, the thing is, this song, though, particularly made sense. Like, this song is poignant in its words, right? Like,
yeah,
this is,
it is
like,
interesting that they are actually...
It is a narrative element
of
the
text. They actually have the lyrics, which I don't know... I don't know that we've ever really seen that.
Interesting.
The lyrics being closed captioning.
Being part of closed captioning. I think when it's important to a narrative, like, I feel like this was, like, a written-in song. It's very, very...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely...
It reminds me of there's some really great... It just is this nice sort of coming together. I sort of like these in like, ensemble casts where you go through and you get to check in with all of the different characters at the end of an episode. I actually really like this. I know it's, like, a trope that sometimes can be overused, but I think it worked really well in this.
Yeah.
Roy is just standing... You gotta know that this was, like, another scene where they just had an extra 5 minutes between setups, and they were like, hey, Roy, go stand against this thing.
Well, I think they're outside Verdon. Right? Like, he's outside
Burton. Fair enough. That makes sense. It is a nice shot. These are all actually really nice shots.
We deal with all this,
and then this final scene with Felicity coming back to Queen Consolidated. Oh, I really like them together. And that she wants something out of life, and she's her own person. Like, I think this is really a really good thing.
And then we cut to Corto Maltese, which I'm sure is somewhere in, like, the Mediterranean.
I have no idea where Corto Maltese is. Corto Maltese? I have no idea. It's very sunny and bright wherever it is.
Yep. And whoever this is, training with kendo sticks and all samurai style, learning how to be a ninja.
But, like, in a hallway? Like, this is such a weird setup for this.
Yeah. And then the reveal of our favorite bad guy, John Barrowman.
And Thea's awesome hair.
Yeah, and Thea with her bad guy haircut.
Oh,
she looks like she's ready to
be
kick
a bad
somebody.
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay, I need to go. This ending is sweet too. With all
I love the new they've got it on Flash as well. They've got, like, a special WB,
like,
logo that comes up
so
at the
cool.
end as well.
Nice.
So next week, all about Oliver trying to bring
Thea back.
Thea home. And her not wanting to come home.
Yeah, it's so good.
And probably does... I don't remember. Oliver doesn't know that Malcolm's alive, right?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know.
Thea's the only one who knows that Malcolm's alive.
Well, I don't remember.
At this point.
I have to rewatch everything. I think so. I don't know who is alive and who's dead.
Moira knew.
Yeah.
Thea now knows. I think that's it. Nobody else found out.
Interesting.
Nobody else knows.
Right. Okay. Cool.
So, because if they did, then I'm sure that Ra's al Ghul would be showing up.
Yeah.
See, like, everybody's thinking about Ra's al Ghul as being the big bad for this season. He is not. I guarantee you right now, Ra's al Ghul is coming...
To deal with the problem.
Like, to help our heroes. And it's going to be... There's going to be conflict there.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, like, Ra's al Ghul is partially responsible for Sarah being dead. Because he's the leader of the League of Shadows and brought her into that fold and made her an assassin and put her in harm's way. So whoever it is that killed Sarah, it's because of that conflict, right?
Yeah.
But I think, because of that, Ra's is going to feel responsible.
Interesting, yeah.
And Nyssa is obviously going to be upset.
Interesting.
And so I think, like, I think we've already seen, set shots and stuff of Nyssa coming back this season.
I think so. Yeah.
But I think that when the League of Shadows finds out that Sarah is dead, and whoever was behind it, we don't know yet. I think that scene right there points to the fact that it was not Thea.
Right, yeah.
Because she has obviously been... She's still training. She's not there yet.
Yeah.
Interesting. But who knows where Malcolm was, right? So it could be Malcolm. It could be a new player. It could be somebody else trying to set something up.
Who knows?
Right?
I don't know.
Is Huntress still alive? She's in jail, right?
She's in jail.
Yeah.
For sure. Ugh, we'll see.
You know what I would love?
What?
I would love if Helena Bertinelli stays in jail and Thea becomes the new Huntress.
Ooh.
So that after this season, when they de-brainwash her from all of Malcolm's evil brainwashing that he's doing. I don't think he's doing any literal brainwashing. No, I think he's just being manipulative.
Yeah.
But when they smooth everything over again and she's a reluctant member of Team Arrow, she can be the new Huntress. And then we will have a new Black Canary, right? The Black Canary, because Sarah was the Canary, right? Yeah. So we have the Black Canary. And then we will have a new Huntress that we actually like. no offense to...
I kind of like her.
She was okay in that last episode that she was in. Yeah. The one where she got arrested. She's starting to redeem herself. But I don't know if I want her around every episode. Yeah. And then we can start calling Felicity Oracle.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Right?
That's good. You don't want her to come back as Speedy? You don't want Theodore to be Speedy?
I don't want her to be called Speedy. That will totally break the series.
Okay, all
right. Or, I mean, she can be a new character as well, right? But...
it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think Thea looks great.
I'm excited because her character now, just like Laurel, has this incredible direction and focus.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's great.
So, I don't know. We've kind of I separated the chaff from the wheat at this point, and all we've got left is delicious, delicious wheat.
It's
all these characters are just kind of where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
In season three, set up for awesome stuff. There aren't any dead weight characters this season, right?
Yeah.
Ray Palmer obviously is going to serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And he's really the only new one, so.
That's gonna be exciting.
It is. It's very exciting.
I love Ray. I'm excited to see where they go. Yeah. I'm excited to see what comes of this season, and I'm excited to, I don't know.
Two episodes in, I'm going to call it best season yet.
Yeah.
Best season
enough.
Yet.
Yeah.
So.
It's just getting cool. Better.
Well, I think that does it for us this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've talked a lot.
We have talked a lot. cool. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can check out all the latest Arrow news over at quiverpodcast.com. Tim does an awesome job of keeping that up to date. So head over there and read his news stories and you know, learn about all of these great spoiler-tastic pieces of information, what's coming up in this season. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast, where you can find a link to our awesome, gigantic Facebook group.
Yeah.
Be part of the conversation over there. And you can follow us on Twitter, @quiverpodcast, and be part of the conversation.
Yeah, you can also talk to us individually. I'm at @akonkin, @akonkin.
And I'm @arkwulf, @arkwulf.
Yeah.
And we want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you thought of this week's episode or next week's episode.
And we will thank, I mean, we did get a tweet today. Will Ross tweeted at us saying that it was a really emotional episode of Quiver. So thanks, Will. Yeah, see, people, like, I like having conversations and people just
definitely.
Sort of saying things.
So send in your emails as well to mail@quiverpodcast.com and we will be happy to read those on air. This is the part where I would have plugged the t-shirts again, but guess what? The t-shirts are all sold out. You missed your chance. The opportunity is gone. So keep your eyes on the Facebook page for when we do our next t-shirt campaign.
That'll be exciting.
I like this Teespring thing. I think this is what we'll do.
Catching on.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll do that more towards the middle of the season because I don't want to
do something right now.
Yeah, because everybody just spent their money.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to ask you guys to throw more in.
But hopefully the shirts are cool. I want to see my shirt.
Yeah.
I'm going to see my shirt first. I want to see that it's cool and as awesome as I think it's going to be.
Yes. I'm sure it will be.
It'll be good.
But thank you guys for supporting us over there on Teespring.
Yeah, really appreciate
it. And keep your eyes peeled because we'll be doing that again at some point with a new design. But until next week, thank you guys for listening.
And stay sharp, Arrowheads. crossover.
Yeah, it's Pokemon and X-Men.
Storm Pokemon.
Well, there's three Pokemon on it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Iceman, Professor X, and Storm.
Charizard. Pokemon.
No, there's no Charizard.
What's the top one?
That's a Squirtle.
Oh, Squirtle. I knew I knew the
Psyduck,
name.
That's Psyduck, and that's Pikachu.
I knew I knew the name. Psyduck was an internet meme.
No, Psyduck is a psychic Pokemon. Therefore, it makes sense that he would be Professor X.
That's true.
Squirtle does water and ice attacks.
Oh, so
he's Iceman. And Pikachu is obviously electric.
Yeah.
Because his name literally means electric mouse.
Pikachu, really?
Yeah.
Cool. In what language?
Japanese.
Okay.
It's Pikachu. It's electric mouse.
Pikachu. That's so cool.
Did you know that Pokemon stands for Pocket Monster?